All right, check, check, one, two. Oh, that's a little loud. All right.
Mic check, one, two, three, four.
All right, check, check, one, two. I felt like my vocals were real loud last time. I distorted a little bit on the podcast, so I'm trying to get it.
Pull the Kanye?
See, there you go. You got me testing my mic. I appreciate that because I'm going to get real... We're gonna get loud on this episode, I think.
I'm sure we are. I'm already expecting the worst. So yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is. I might save this for the show. All right, we can go whatever you want. I'm ready.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up. We should probably do the show thing first. We always say, hey, look at me, and oh, and by the way, the show. So let me do that over. We're going to keep it running, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, clockradiospeakers.com is powered by Tumblr, because that's the most important thing. Never mind me and Doc. Like, the show comes first for the people. So if you're on Tumblr, hit us up there. Follow us. Share our episodes. We're also on iTunes. Vote, rate, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, we are on the pulse-radio.com playing 2 hours of whatever we want. This Sunday should be really, really interesting. And yeah, Armand here, and I'm here with DOC.
What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats_snotaz. We didn't have anything big go on this week, right? Nothing to talk about, really?
You mean like personally?
No, I mean, you know, it's going to be a quiet week on Clock Radio Speakers, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely nothing happened. Nothing whatsoever. We're going to talk about Smiles and South Star's comeback album for 2 hours.
Yo, how is it that that's the biggest thing that Orlando has produced for hip hop? Is that accurate?
I don't know. One of my best friends is
from
Orlando.
How do I remember that they're from Orlando?
I don't know. That's weird. Love, hate, mistakes. Tell me what you think is going on.
I blame a youth spent reading XXL and The Source one too many times.
Oh, man. I mean, it was just, you know, the BX would always get the issues a little earlier than the mall. So that was it. So when I worked at the BX for like 6 months, at least 1/8 of my check would go towards Source, XXL, Vibe.
You didn't buy Blaze, did you? No,
Blaze definitely bought Blaze. That was freshman year of high school. Definitely bought Blaze. I feel like there was some other ones. I remember XXL had like an R&B magazine for like 2 months.
Was it called Honey's? There's no Honey, maybe?
Maybe. But I know Honey was a magazine. I thought that was Vibe, though.
I thought that was King's magazine, where they just totally abandoned all pretenses and straight up had nothing but girls.
Maybe. Okay, yeah, a lot of King magazines were bought too.
Well, I mean,
yeah, that first year and a half run of King was the stuff of legends.
Shout out to King.
Yeah, shout out to King.
I figured you just want to talk about, you know, the rumors that Instagram's got a Vine competitor coming out. I figured that was going to be the highlight of the show.
Yeah, I mean, that's big news. That's worthy of a million flex bombs.
No one's going to use... If that's true, nobody's going to use Vine anymore, right?
Yeah, Vine's dead, if that's true. And I'm 99. I mean, if The Verge and everybody I've seen who has reported that is a very legitimate news source, yeah, Vine's done.
Here's the problem with Vine. Like, I don't know how you use Instagram, but the way I use Instagram is I don't take pictures in the app.
No.
I'll take pictures... And sometimes I go right to Instagram, but sometimes I want to take like a bunch.
Yes.
And then I might select the best one.
Yes.
Or I might come back later. With Vine, at least on iOS, I'm assuming the same on Android, you can't take a video and then upload it. You got to take it in the app on the spot.
Yes.
And you can't like do a quick edit or anything like that. Totally. It'd be like for Instagram, if you couldn't zoom in to crop or you couldn't take pictures outside the app, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Nah, they, you know, people, I've been asking Vine on Twitter since the app launched. I was like, yo, y'all are going to allow, like, us to take videos outside the app at some point, right?
Yeah, but how else are they going to do that? But how else are they going to do the jittery?
You could figure that. There's a way around it.
Because that's the one thing about Vine that kind of makes it dope when you do it right.
I wouldn't disagree with that, and I'm not saying this is a I'm not saying this is an easy problem to solve, but it's, you know, come on.
And Vine for Android is horrible.
Mm.
They could have kept that for like another month. We don't have front face camera. We can't search.
Start over again.
We can't use front face camera.
I thought that you were going to say Android phones didn't have front facing cameras.
No,
I
was, come on.
I was like, wait a minute.
How else would so many Android users take selfies?
Really carefully.
And there's a lag. If you look at any of my Vines, there's a lag.
Mm.
And yeah, they really could have kept that for like a month. So it's cool to like, and it's slow. It's slow. It takes a while for all the other Vines to load up. And the catch is retarded. I mean, when I first got it, I ended up saving, the catch ended up saving like a gig and a half of Vines that I had to go in and manually delete. So there's a few things that they could have waited on. They could have waited like another month. But yeah, if this is true, it's a wrap.
Well, if we're not talking about that, I mean, obviously we're going to talk about this Pusha T song, because I know you're paying a lot of attention to Pusha Ton.
Oh my God. Yo, does his album still come out July 16th?
Does he have a single?
This one?
This is not a single.
No, it's not a single.
It's not a single. It's an album cut. We're talking about Who I Am.
Who I Am.
I think I'm the only one who's cool with this song. Like, if this is an album cut, I'm all right. It's not a single.
No, it's not a single.
I don't understand it.
I think the problem is he leaked it at a bad time.
Oh, well.
I mean, not even that. I mean, when the day that it leaked, I wasn't really on the internet like that. So I just went to my little source, my little hookup, and it was that and a few other joints that we're going to talk about all dropped at the exact same time. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm excited about the other records. And then the Pusha record kind of got pushed to the side. Had it got released, you know, 3 hours prior, would have got a little bit of burn maybe.
It's an awkward record.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
There's an awkward rhythm to it.
Yeah.
You know, his problem is he keeps just leaking out what seem to be album cuts. Like, there's a real, and we need to talk about this when we talk about the obvious big topic for today's show, which of course is Yeezus. But there's a real, like,
way to spoil the episode.
Well, Dad. You know, there's a real disconnect between, say, like, look at his mixtapes, right?
Yep.
Which are pretty, I don't want to say traditional. We'll call them, they're pretty traditional for what you might expect a rap artist to put out nowadays, right? In terms of beats and songs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he'll have these album tracks that sort of hint at the sort of unique, and I'll use that in both good and bad ways, unique production abilities coming out of good music these days.
Yeah.
That sort of hint at it. But yep. You don't see, like, the single. Like, you're telling me they can't get Hit-Boy to even give him a B+ record?
I was just about to say, like, it just seems like...
Where is Hit-Boy?
It's interviewing Jay-Z, obviously.
Working on his own project. But, like, there's got to be something in the building.
I mean, where's Key Wayne at?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, maybe Big Sean's got Key Wayne, you know, doing nothing right. But, like, 15 album cuts for him. But, I mean...
And based off of Detroit, I'm not mad at that decision.
I'm not mad at that either. But, like, I, you know... It's just a weird, like, you get like numbers on the boards. Like, you say that for the album, that shows up, and you're like, oh, okay. Right? Like, it catches you off guard, but like, what?
I say that record should have got leaked a little closer to the album releasing.
Or you could do that. That could be I mean, if we're being stereotypical rappers, and I mean that with all the love in my heart, then, you know, that's the record you leak when, like, the day before the album leaks.
Or a few days prior.
Sure. A few days. Yeah.
Or when the album leaks online.
Oh, yeah. You put that out there. Sure.
But yeah, I agree. This is...
I don't know what he's doing.
It's unnecessary. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
July's looking a little crowded.
It's a wrap from now until, geez, October. It's a wrap.
Does Eminem really have a release date in July too?
I'm hearing August, early September.
Yeah, that's a good look for him.
I'm hearing August.
There's September. No rush for an Eminem record. Although, here's the ironic point. Fourth quarter's empty and out.
Yeah.
If I'm Drake, yeah. I just wait.
Nah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about,
let's talk about Drake now.
You want to talk about him now? Okay. Because I want to talk about your man, Dos Cadenas.
Boats 2.
Boats 2. Me time. How? Way to violate man laws, Mr. Cadenas.
What's violating man laws about that?
No. Men need me time.
Yeah.
You just don't call it me time.
What do you call it?
I don't know. Not me time. There's a song. Who's that? Heather Healey. She sings the song about I need me. She sings the song I need me time.
Okay.
Whoa. Like that. No, that's what girls say. Me time is, you know, soaking in a bubble bath and, you know, expensive drinks with the girls. Me time isn't, you know, PlayStation and Sunday Ticket. It's just called something else. It's just the terminology.
I mean, what's he going to call it? Boats 2, I'm in my man cave? Like, I mean...
Man cave. Yes.
Like, me time. I mean, that's very 2 Chainsery. Like...
You think so?
Yeah. It's me time.
Oh, it's the double entendre. Like, it's time for me.
Yeah.
Me time. Oh. Boo. Man, get out of here. This is what we doing.
We're off to a good start already with this episode. I'm
this
excited.
Episode's gonna be crazy. I already know. I mean, are you okay? Well, let's get to the music because that's gonna be my theme for this entire episode. Like, is it time?
You want to talk about music?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How dare you?
I know the nerve of me, the gall,
audacity. Stealing my big words.
Some episodes, you get to know somebody. Is it time now for a 2 Chainz album? And does he get lost now that, you know, everybody's dropping now?
Well, he's dropping September.
Yeah, around the same time as Boats 1.
So that means he'll have like a big single, hopefully for Back to School.
I'd say so. If not, but it's not a few weeks before. I'd say by first week of August.
That's a 2 Chainz move. That works, and it does 2 things. Number one, I mean, who's dropping in September right now?
Nobody. Rumor has it Eminem, but that's a totally different,
audience
demographic. So
right, so that area looks a little wide open. And the other thing it says is, don't worry, everybody. Fed's watching is just a warm up single.
Told you, face saving.
We
know that.
Yeah,
but say that the night that the record leaks. Wait, how long ago did he say that?
What's that?
Did he say that it was just a... Did he say it was a warm-up record?
No. I'm saying that's what it says to me.
Okay, my bad. No. You're right. It is. Totally warm-up record. Not the single. I thought he was saying it to save face for it not, you know, really immediately... But... No. Definitely a warm-up record.
So...
That's
it with 2 Chainz?
That's it with 2 Chainz.
I was like, so...
Okay, so let's talk Drake. Let's talk Aubrey.
Let's talk Drake. All right. So he's got a tour.
Escobar season has returned. Yeah. What was it called? Would you like a tour?
Yeah. Future.
And Miguel.
AKA, if you're a male, do not go to this show. Because here's what's going to happen.
If you're a male, you go to this show.
No. I take that back. If you're a male and... Wait. If you're a male, why are you going to this show?
The women will be there.
They
Future
will.
Brings out the women, and obviously Aubrey and Miguel will bring out the women.
They do, but
I get what you're saying.
They're gonna be. I mean, you're gonna see a lot of ratchetness.
Yeah. Future bring out the ratchets. I'll say that. Future bring out the ratchets.
You'll have some ratchets being like aspirational, like.
Right.
Get a Miguel or a Drake. Like, that's aspirational ratchetness.
Aspirational ratchetness. So you're done. Yeah.
Right?
I get that.
All right.
I get
that. All right.
Yeah, because Future pulled out of the America's Most Wanted tour.
That's Wayne, T.I., and who else?
I don't know. he is Azalea? I don't know.
No. I think it's another big name. They're on the cover of, XXL this month?
2 Chainz.
Yo, that is straight. They should just call that like Ratchet's Most Wanted.
They should just call that the We're Not Finishing This Tour.
You think so?
I mean,
Can Wayne survive that a tour like that without going to the hospital?
Oh, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about, you know, the level of ignorance that those three artists will attract, which in turn will produce. History says that produces violence and that produces unsafe environments and stuff like that, to the point to where, you know, tours are not finishing their schedule because the venues are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, people are getting shot here. We don't want that in our establishment.
Yeah, so. I think they'll be cool with the Drake Future Miguel tour, though. I don't think there's a...
No. You might couple girls might get maced. You see some weaves on the ground.
They're coming to Hartford.
Yeah, they're going everywhere. They're coming to Columbus.
I saw that.
Yeah, but Drake, every tour Drake has, he comes to Columbus. Because OSU, Ohio State, huge, huge, huge. Schottenstein is right next to campus. Huge, 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 huge market for him.
Sure.
Yeah, he came and performed in one of the clubs here, like right when So Far Gone came out and Stupid Armand didn't go. Mm. It's like $20. Stupid. Anyway. So yeah, so Tory still hasn't announced this release date. Did you read the excerpts of the GQ article?
I saw a little bit, but nothing serious.
Yeah, it was just Chris Brown. It was the critique he gets, how it's about everything except his music. He's fine with that. And he said with this album, he wants to return and show people that he can really, really rap.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm sorry. He hasn't been like. When was the last time he wasn't doing that?
Most of Take Care. A good chunk of Take Care. I mean, that was 2013. That was almost, no, he was doing straight.
I mean, 2012.
He was doing 12 and 13. He was, you know, dropping those one offs.
Yeah, he's been. I mean, he's been on his rappity rap.
Right, but I think more so. I think he's gonna, you know, kind of fuse the styles together, him and 40. And then, you know, I kind of have a feeling that this is going to be what Thank Me Later was supposed to be. I kind of get that vibe from him. Mm. So kind of that real moody, whatever. Because he said with this project, he said, you know, with his previous projects, he's made it apparent that love is something that he wants and he desires. But he said with this project, this is the first time in his life where he's been okay with not having that, and he wants to express that. So
I guess we'll see what happens.
And I'm sure we'll be talking about him a little later in the show.
We will.
Yeah, I will.
Speaking of your man Chris Brown.
Yeah.
He's got this record with Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Don't Think They Know.
Yeah.
Is Chris Brown just trolling Drake with this? Is that the idea?
Has to be. I mean, what really went on? Because, I mean, even Drake was like, I would love to sit down and talk to him, but I know it wouldn't end well. Like, this really can't be over a girl, can it? I've had friends who have died over women.
I was going to say, what else would it be over?
I mean, but to this degree, I don't know. I guess me just realizing that I had a friend who died over a girl is like sobering that, yes, that is possible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Super crazy.
What
do you think of the song, though?
It's all right.
It's cool. I don't think that, I mean, to me, what's up with Fine China? Does he need another single? Right? Does he even have a release date?
Now you're going to make me go look up Chris Brown. See what you did? Hold on. Wikipedia knows all. All right, Chris
Brown. I'm so horrible.
Record's called X. No, wait. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it was called Carpe Diem.
Yeah.
Looks like just August, September. So he'll have a second single.
But what? Fine China was it.
No, that's a single.
But, I mean, that was the single to launch the album.
Well, you'd think so.
Your warm-up single can't be the number one smash unless your album comes out 4 weeks after it comes out.
I mean, that got released to radio on April 2nd.
Then he should have had something by the end of May. He should have dropped with French and Kairos.
I mean, he was staying away from Kairos.
Obviously.
I mean, there's a huge, I imagine you know, there's a huge overlap between your fan base and Chris Brown's fan base.
Absolutely. Girls love Kairos.
Girls love P90X.
Girls love P90X.
I love the inside jokes. anything else you want to say about Chris Breezy?
Nah, man. What else do we have to talk about? Before, is that it?
Anything you want to say about this Wale Just Blaze joint?
Oh, cool record.
Cool record. It sounds a lot like that MMG intro he did.
Yeah, it does. The drums do. Yep. I didn't hear the CD quality version. I know that came out today.
Yeah.
I heard the radio rip last week. But I do like the record. That's totally a Wale move. Let's do a song about sneakers.
Yeah.
Totally not mad at that.
That's right in his wheelhouse. Works for him.
Yep. Works for him. Beat is cool. You know, I can see that really going over well since the sneaker game, the sneaker community is at an all-time high right now in terms of visibility. People to eat that up. So, yeah, man.
So his album's out in a week.
Yeah.
So June 25th. We're probably talking his album next week.
Yep.
All right.
This is going to be a busy man. We're going from J. Cole and Mac Miller to Kanye to Wale to Jay.
Yeah.
Jay might need two episodes, right?
Jay's not going to need two episodes.
Maybe. I mean, okay.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about.
You want to talk about it now, son?
Let's talk about it now.
Oh. Ba-dum-bum.
Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Yep. July 4th.
How many people do you think had to go look up what those four words meant last night?
Oh, I mean, my Twitter feed was full of the Magna Carta is this. Like, mad Wikipedia leaks was in my timeline last night. Last night was a crazy night on Twitter. There was way too much going on.
So before we talk, so let's talk about the actual content of this video before we talk about all the hubbub around it.
Can we also mention that Clock Radio Speakers reported about this Jay-Z project 2 weeks ago?
What did we say?
We said that he was coming out with an album July 4th.
We said that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I knew about that weeks ago.
Well, listen to you.
And then come to find out, people were talking about it in December. Told you, man. We know what we're doing. When I say it, you say it, Doc.
So
go ahead and take that credit.
So we had the little picture of telling people, you know, go watch the NBA Finals Game 5.
The day that Kanye's album leaks,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were like, real quick, put this up and open up Photoshop real quick.
Nah,
everybody's on the internet looking at stuff.
So here's what you do when it. So this was very. I mean, there's a reason. All right. If you're gonna put something in the NBA Finals, like in terms of a commercial,
yeah,
you can't really wait till like Game 6 because there might not be a Game 6.
Yeah.
Right. So when the series was tied 1-1, that's when you can lock this in. Right. Like that's when you can start to get commercial air, like whatever for. But anyway,
I think you can hang your hat on. You can hang your hat on Miami and San Antonio going more than five games.
You probably could. But so it was, you know, told everybody to watch what 9:15 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we get this little video.
Yeah. 3 minute video.
Behind the scenes.
So, yeah.
Well, heavily edited, obviously.
Of course.
Of Jay working on this new project. We got your man Swiss Beatz.
Yep, my man.
Your man, Swiss Beatz.
he had them Iversons I wanted, though.
Timbaland.
Yep. Fat Timbaland.
Chubby Timbo.
Which makes me happy.
That's messed up.
I mean, it's like Big Luther and Lil Luther. I'm not happy because of his health. I'm happy because I know what type of vein Chubby Timbaland gets it in.
I just don't want to see him with that jug again.
But Buff Timbaland did Venus versus Mars. Buff Timbaland did Ghetto Techno.
For all that people praise that Justin Timberlake project, Timbo still had the same co-producer that did that Ghetto Techno and everything else.
Danger Hands had his hands on those records?
Nah, that's not Danger.
Okay.
His new guy, what's his name? See, I can't even think of it. Timbo's got a new guy who started work with him on those Blueprint 3 records and ended up working with him on this most recent Timbalake project.
What project?
2020.
The one that nobody's talking about?
Funny. That's who's coming out in the fall, by the way.
September 30th. Right, yeah. Right.
So, Rick Rubin. Yep. Does Rick Rubin, at this point, does he require that he can lay on the couch when he goes into the studio session?
That's his whole zen thing. That's he's working, but he's not working hard because he has found his center and all that other stuff.
You know what? I'm not mad at that. I'll tell you why. Well, we could talk about Rick Rubin when we talk about Kanye's album. But so they play some beats.
Wait, you forgot about your man Pharrell.
Oh, my man Pharrell.
Skateboard P. And Kanye was in the room as well. But
yes, he was. He was referenced, but he was not pictured.
Yes, he was referenced.
And it's funny, the beat that supposedly Kanye has a hand in
is the dopest beat in the commercial.
No, it sounds like a ripoff DJ Premier beat.
No,
go listen to it.
Don't disrespect.
Go listen to it
like that. No,
it totally sounds like a Primo beat.
No,
The dopest beat is that when that Timbo beat drops. Are you kidding me?
Which one? The first one?
Yes.
The first one is dope.
That one is crazy. The rest of them, I'm cool. They're cool.
Yeah. Well, let's wait till we talk about one of those producers that were.
Well, let's talk about you want to talk about the Pharrell beat?
I don't want Jay rapping over blurred lines, yo.
I mean, the only thing I'm going to say is the last time Jay tried a producer lineup that looked anything like this, the very first single we heard started off with, you know, sexy, sexy. So I just want to put a damper on everybody's expectations.
Doesn't this feel like the Black Album to you a little bit?
Oh, it's totally the Black Album.
Okay.
Except ironically, who actually just came out with a Black Album?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kanye?
Yeah. That's about as close as we're ever going to see. And even that had a lot of promotion just in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about as close as you can get when you're a star of this status.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of the Black Album. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. What will be more interesting is because the videos sort of portray this collaborative atmosphere.
Yes.
I'd be interested to know how collaborative it really was. Because the problem is whenever you have a group of producers that is so like divergent in their sound, if there's not somebody who's sort of guiding the whole thing, either if it's the MC who has a particular sound who can guide it, like – you could say what you want about Kanye, and we will later in this episode. He may not be listed as the primary producer on all the stuff anymore, but because he's a producer, he can guide the sound.
Yes.
That's why you see a lot of those co or additional production.
Yes.
Right? Jay's not like that.
Yes.
Jay doesn't guide the sound in that way.
I think he does a little bit. I mean, because, you know, he did the little – hey, Kanye, change that part. Jay is your classic rapper. Play me some beats.
Yep.
This is what I like. Let me come up with a topic. Let me get in the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your classic, rapper. But go ahead. Finish making your point.
So the video is edited in a way to make it feel a certain way. So let's actually just see what we get. There's going to be more stories, right? I'm sure we'll get like a New York Times or Wall Street Journal. I love how these big name publications are now like marketing angles and rapper releases. This is an interesting concept.
Who's that? The Huffington Post that talked about when Kanye leaked?
Yeah, but I mean like, you know, Wall Street Journal had a whole inside story with like, you know, quotes from Rick Rubin or whatever. And I'm like, really? Yeah,
they have the Rick Rubin article. Yep.
Which and is I really think, good.
Who did that article on Pharrell that I sent you? I forgot.
Oh, I totally forgot.
But that was a good article.
So let's see how cohesive it actually ends up being.
Maybe that's what Rick Rubin is there for.
Sure. That Pharrell record doesn't sound like it's been minimalized, as he talks about in that Wall Street Journal article by Rick Rubin. But let's just see what we get.
Yeah.
It's a little early to tell. Yeah. We heard one crazy beat and a couple really good beats. But in by themselves, I don't know what Jay we're gonna get.
Right.
You know,
I mean, if it's like, if it's the Jay that we're hearing on what's recent, Open Letter,
Trick Don't Kill My Vibe.
Don't Kill My Vibe. Because obviously this record, because I mean, Jay was Instagramming pictures of him and producers like in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So dare I say this album, you know, this could be a Justin Timberlake. Well, no, that wasn't Justin Timberlake. I'm sorry. This could be instance where this album has been done since, I don't know, March, April.
Yeah, we don't know anything right now.
Yeah. It's all speculative. So how do you feel about the app? And, you know, this is his partnership with Samsung.
See, he still does work with Steve Stout, right?
Yes.
I think Steve Stout's, and I believe I said this on Twitter. If not, I said this somewhere else. I think one of his biggest contributions to hip hop has been teaching rappers that a lot, what you think as a lot of money for a rapper, when you're talking about a marketing campaign for a multi-billion-dollar corporation, is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
So, you know, Budweiser cost $1 million to make that Show Me What You Got video. Nothing.
That's nothing. They'll right? make that back in 30 seconds.
Right. That's nothing for them. You know, yep. Last year, Samsung, now granted, this is all of Samsung Electronics. But last year, Samsung Electronics spent like $4 or $5 billion on marketing.
And it shows.
Yeah. So like, you know, $20 million towards Jay with $5 million specifically going to pay for the first 1 million downloads. That's nothing for them.
That's nothing.
The app is an interesting idea. I haven't seen the app idea executed really well yet.
Who else has done it besides Flex?
That's what I mean.
But then again, this is Funk Flex working with an independent,
sure,
you know, app guy or whatever. But this is Samsung.
Well, that doesn't mean anything to me.
I mean, this is one of the top mobile technology companies. Period.
Yeah, but I think you said this yourself. They're not really known for their software.
No, not at all. So I was getting to.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't be hanging my hat on that. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think you'll get, like, say, 320 quality. Like, I don't think this will be close to CD quality. That'll be interesting.
Now, I may disagree with you there.
You think you will get that?
Huh? What's that?
You think that they'll just have the full, like, it won't be, you know, they won't throw, like, 192s, be like, oh, it's the internet. Who cares?
I'll say this. When I got my first Galaxy, I got a Avatar.
Okay.
1080p.
Okay.
It was well over a gig download. When I got my S3, I got the Avengers 1080p. It was like okay. 2 gigs.
All right.
So possibly, yes. I wouldn't be surprised if this was this wasn't like a J. Cole thing, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if Samsung gave it away as is.
Well, here's the thing. They know that this is going to leak in like 5 seconds.
They know.
So they basically paid $5 million to have an authorized leak.
Yeah.
But
somebody like you, Doc,
yeah.
you're going to get the web rip.
Yep.
And then you're going to wait on what? The actual CD.
There won't be if what you're saying is that they've got a 320. That we'll get pretty as close to CD quality as you can get.
Right.
So it won't be a web rip.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying is you'll rip it off. You'll get it ripped off the app, but it won't be the quality that, you know, the audio nerds want.
No. But the point is they want this exclusive, but they'll only have an exclusive for as long as it takes somebody to rip it. Because once it goes up online and it leaks, when someone goes to Google Jay-Z Magna Carta, they're going to be able to get the leak.
Carta.
They will be able to get the leak.
Yeah.
So I really don't know how much exclusivity they're paying for.
Well, I think what they're doing is, and I think what Samsung is beginning to do, and I'm realizing that they're beginning to do, is they're beginning to take a nod from Apple, and they want to make everything in-house. Samsung, there are rumors that Samsung is getting ready to go away from Android and create their own OS.
They are. I mean, they've been working on their own OS.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, this is saying we're going to start working on apps to get you to love our apps so that when we drop this Samsung only phone, you won't be hung up on the fact that it's not Android.
Yeah, I think this is really just one of those things where it's like, they, you know, Jay-Z and his team do a really good job at selling Jay-Z the brand.
And I was going to say, this is a moment. You know, Jay-Z loves to create moments. This is a moment. And they do a great job at creating moments.
I think the commercial's a little moment. We'll see what the album actually is.
Yeah. Is it going to be, you think it's going to be short?
I have no idea.
I have a feeling it's going to be short.
A lot, you know, I'm seeing an interesting reaction online.
Okay, yeah, let's talk online because I want to rant. Go ahead.
Okay. You got a lot of people congratulating Jay-Z for his business acumen.
Yep.
You get some people who are like, you know, they don't approve because they feel like it's the ultimate sellout.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have not seen that. Okay.
I mean, because... You all right
when
there?
When did Jay-Z sell out? 98? Like, who doesn't expect Jay-Z to do something like this?
I wouldn't disagree with that statement. I'm just saying that's what I think some people see. What I've seen a little bit of response from a little bit of, you know, people talking about. So I see some people saying, "Wow, he's trying to steal Kanye's like moment." I'm not worried about Kanye West.
I think
the conversation is, instead of it just being about Kanye, now it's, oh, did Jay steal Kanye's shine? Well, you know who's still in that sentence? That would be Kanye. You know who's really suffering from this?
Your man Jermaine.
Your Majesty Jermichael Cole. And to a lesser degree, a Roc Nation managed artist Wale.
I'm not worried about Wale.
I'm not worried about them, but, and, you know, Kanye's not immune to this because we're going to talk about good music and use this later. But, you know, would it have killed Jay to thrown up the cover art with release dates at the end of the video? Like a 3-second shot.
I think he does that because the app's not out. The app comes out next week, the 24th.
In other words, yeah. Well, J. Cole's album comes out. Well, this is released on the 18th. On the 18th. So
it's out today.
Would it have killed him in that commercial that he knew was going to get watched by a lot of people, that he knew was going to get replayed a lot of times? Would it have killed him to put J. Cole's cover and release date like at the very, like the last screen?
No. No, it would have killed him.
You think it would have killed him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you make records like called I Let Nas Down. Like,
you think Jay felt so tight?
I mean, he's throwing shade.
So you ain't let me down, huh?
He's throwing shade at Jay on the entire album.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jay went on a little Twitter rant today, and he included, you know, his whole mantra during the commercial was new rules. We have to create the new rules, right? So he referenced J. Cole's listening session as a part of the new rules. He said J. Cole album available June 18th. You know, listening session on the app, new hashtag new rules. Wale drops the Gifted next week, new rules. Jay-Z, Magna Carta, July 4th, new rules. So, you know, he's almost trying to do like a Team Rock thing where he's included them a little bit. I mean, granted, a tweet doesn't have the same power as a 3-minute commercial, but, you know, I say threw him a bone. And on top of that, I think that this really disregards the picture that we talked about last week.
What picture is that?
Wait, with Jay Nas and Kanye at the bottom, and then Wale, Kendrick, and Cole on the top. That pretty much just destroyed that picture.
Why do you say that?
And I'll say that because, to me, at this stage, I think that Wale and J. Cole can flourish. They can succeed as the B team. I think Jay's competition isn't Cole, and I don't think Cole's competition is Jay-Z or an artist like J. Cole, an artist like Wale. Their competition isn't Jay, Kanye, Drake, the Mount Rushmore that we talked about. You know, I wouldn't put Ross in that category now in this retrospect. He's down at the B team with Wale and Cole at this point. But, you know, if Jay puts out a record on the radio and it blows up and it destroys everything, I think J. Cole still is good with the crooked smile. I think Wale is still good. At, granted, you know, if we're hearing, if I'm hearing right about some of the records off of The Gifted, I think Wale's still okay. I'm hearing that Wale has records that will take him through the rest of this year. So I think that they can function in the same space creatively. I think that I'm not going to say it affects Kanye like people think it does. And I don't know if it necessarily affects Drake more than the aspect of, look, this is a competition. And this is really weird that all of these artists are coming out at the same time.
I'm glad you mentioned that this is a competition, because this is a point that has been driving me crazy. And I realize why it's been driving me crazy.
Why's that?
So Jay is famous for saying, men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
And that statement is stupid. Go ahead.
All right. When we were youngins, there was only one way that you kept score.
Which was?
What did your album get in the source?
Right.
Right. That was really the only way that you kept score. Absolutely. That was the way, that was the thing that mattered.
Absolutely.
That doesn't exist anymore. Right? There is no universal.
Chill, man. Cairo's got some good reviews. Chill out. We got 4.5 on the South, man. Chill out.
Dude didn't like Change My Mind. What's going on?
It's all good. It's all good because, the next day I got some feedback and those two songs were the specific songs that the person said that they really liked. So
that doesn't exist anymore, meaning there isn't a universal, like, that's what we're going. That's the score we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right? That's how I'm measuring myself.
Yeah.
Right? So we've either got Grammys, which are messed up.
Yeah.
Or we've got record sales, which are an imperfect, but at least it's a way to keep score.
Because, I guess,
you know, we're obsessed with keeping score.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say everybody. If you're into sports, you're obsessed with keeping score.
Yes.
You know, stereotypically, men are obsessed with keeping score.
Yes.
And there's definitely a huge overlap there with at least not the entire hip hop audience, but the ones who are blogging and talking online.
Yes.
So Jay has helped to foster this sort of concept of keeping score by record sales.
He absolutely has.
Even though he doesn't really sell.
He doesn't.
That. He sells reliably, but not like.
He usually, I don't think he's gone over 400, right? He's usually in the 300 to 400 range first week, yeah.
Yeah, Jay's always good for a single later on, though, that'll keep him. Like, Jay albums are surprisingly a slow burn in a way.
They are, yes. He'll have a good 3 singles that'll take him. He'll have a good first single. Usually his third single is the one that keeps him going, right?
I don't know if there's...
His second one is a little better, but then his third one, excuse me, is really like...
I don't know if I'd say that.
It's my float for a while.
Like Blueprint 3, I mean...
First single was Run This Town.
Wait, you don't count DOA as the first single?
You're right. Okay, so then that proves my point, because DOA's first single.
Yeah.
Run This Town's the second single. That did pretty well.
That did really well.
But third single was New York State of Mind.
Which did really well.
Which is, isn't it his biggest single to date?
I don't understand that.
Which is crazy, yeah, because that song is not very good.
It's really not. Anyway.
You're from Connecticut. You don't.
I'm not from that part of Connecticut.
He didn't do the Petey Pablo Raise Up Cities remix where like he's like Alicia's singing about Connecticut and Alicia sings about Phoenix and different places.
No.
No?
No. She was busy.
Doing what? She was on a BlackBerry or something?
Anyway. So he's not the only one, right? 50 had a big role in this too.
Absolutely.
You know, let's assign the blame equally. But we've become obsessed with this notion of keeping score by record sales.
Yeah.
Or if you're Kanye, by who wins awards.
Yes.
So that's also, but that's, you know, as hip hop has transitioned from a way, you know, all we do is sell records, but it, you know, if you're Jay and if you're a business, then, and that's what you sort of are about. Well, now you got to keep score about how much money do I make?
Yes.
Who's Forbes on the list. Forbes list?
Yep.
Remember, it used to be the Source Power 30.
They still do that.
I'm sure they're printed too, but I can't tell you the last time I looked at a magazine. y'all right there.
Good.
But, you know, so it's like, it's not just record sales.
Yeah.
It's who's bringing in the most money.
Yes.
So by that logic, of course he's going to get Samsung to pay $5 million for the first 1 million downloads. He's already paid for the production of the album.
Right.
And he's going to go tour.
Him and Justin, remember?
I know. Legends of the Summer.
Yep.
Make a ton of money.
Yep.
And that'll justify the whole experience.
Yep.
And we're not even talking about the music.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
So I just gave you the little alley-oop. I mean, did I steal your thunder?
No, absolutely. No, that was a great segue. The 97% of the feedback that I saw was praise of Jay's business acumen. To me, it's something that has always been consistent. Jay, as I said earlier, he knows how to create moments. He knows how to hustle. He knows how to.
I love the way you say he knows hustle.
I'll say this. Well, he knows how to put the right people in position to expand Jay-Z the brand and then make money in that process.
And in the process, he's made some pretty good records too.
And in the process, he's made some good records. Let's not deny that. But very little emphasis on last night's commercial. To me, last night's commercial, yes, Samsung really, they did a lot because people were really like, I'm gonna buy a phone for the album.
No
people
one's really buying doing a phone
no,
for the
I,
album.
No, I heard that. I heard it. I promise I heard it.
I'm sure you
Nobody's
heard
gonna
it.
Buy it. Nobody's yeah. gonna buy it.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You gotta realize, Doc, that even though the internet has come a long way and you really don't have to be internet savvy to, you know, get some benefit out of it. People really just rather have stuff right in front of their face. If you mean to tell me all I gotta do is download this app and I can get Jay-Z's new album as opposed to Googling and da da da, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're gonna go with that. A good chunk of people that we often ignore will buy into that psyche and into that idea. But you know, back to my point, like there was very, to me on the commercial, there was an emphasis on the music. Jay made it a point to play what, 5 beats?
Yeah.
And show the creative process. Very little was shown of the actual Samsung product. You saw one guy filming, you saw a tablet. That was pretty much it.
Well, that's the point. It's, you know, they're trying to be like organic with the product.
Yeah,
placement.
Right. It's not like, you know, it's not a Drake in the Sprite commercial where he keeps fumbling over his take. He drinks a bottle of Sprite. He turns into a cyborg and he destroys his verse and busts through the studio walls. It's not like that.
I actually appreciate that a little bit. Like, let me tell you,
we old school though.
You know what was awful product placement? I saw Man of Steel this weekend.
Yeah.
Yo, IHOP must have paid a ton of money. That there's an IHOP that gets just like they've got to appear in 3 different scenes.
Really?
Yeah, and they. A lot of Sears shots too, because you know it's Smallville.
Does that work? Does that do you leave the theater and you say, you know what? Did you look at your wife and say, you know what we go for right now? Let's go for some pancakes.
See, if they were smart, they would have tried to work in a seat. Like if you're gonna do go all the way, you got to get Superman eating the IHOP. So little kids are like, I want to be like Superman.
Right.
I need a waffle that's the size of my body.
Right. With like red and blue toppings or something like that. Like red, like strawberries and blueberries or something with a yellow.
Yeah. Like, kids instinctively, they want to go into a diabetic coma. Right. And you know, we got to encourage that with the youth, apparently.
Of course.
But the product placement was just awful in that. This is a different style of product placement. But, you know, when the product placement, is, I mean, it's an app. Like, I think you would have seen more product placement if the whole point of it wasn't, oh, if you have our phone, you can get this app. Now, what's interesting is it's not people who get new phones. It's just the first 1 million people who download the app.
Yeah.
I don't know how many – I'll tell you what. People might be – they might have some disappointed people who don't realize that. Somebody went to go get a phone and wasn't in the first million.
Yeah.
Meaning now they can't get it.
I mean, there's no way that you're going to get the phone. You're not going to get the app in time if you buy the phone that day. Like, it's a wrap for you. Like, you just have to already have the phone.
Yeah, if they were smart, they'd have a certain amount of them that had that app with the album preloaded.
Mm.
On certain, like, you want to guarantee you're going to get this phone in this day? I mean, you want to guarantee you get the album? Have, like, a special edition? Like, they could do something with that.
They could.
See, I'm giving away all my secrets to Samsung.
They are. They're good.
Awful.
Sure, they're listening, but
yo, they need to be listening because you know we need some sponsorship, and
we
do
need some sponsorship really bad. If you would like to have your product or your album or whatever advertised on the show, hit us up at info@clockradiospeakers.com.
And by advertised, I mean you may have to put up with us trashing your product if we don't like it, because we keep it real here. Clock Radio.
No, yo, I can be bought out.
Everybody has a price.
Everybody has a price. Everybody's going to pay. I will get my Ted DiBiase last.
I was going to say, if that's the case, then when we do the little commercial segment, we need to I need to play the Ted DiBiase music first so people know what they're getting into.
Ever so gently underneath the ad, underneath the, yes, the commercial spot. Yeah, that's going to be funny when we start doing, commercials. Like, yeah, we're going to take this quick commercial break, like Mike and Mike.
Yeah, and then it's just the Ted DiBiase song underneath.
Yeah, and Virgil will be in the back doing. I'm sure we could get Virgil for real.
He's not busy. anything else you want to say about this, Jay?
Yeah. To make, and I never got to finish making my point, okay, but I'll say it really, really quick. There was very little emphasis from the audience on the music. I didn't hear a whole lot of, hey, those beats sounded really dope. I'm excited to see what Jay is going to rap on. The only response I heard was, I don't want Jay over EDM trap beats, which none of those sounded like, so I'm not worried about it.
Mm.
But there was very little emphasis on, Jay created the moment, but for whatever reason, I think Jay had enough of the music in the moment. I think he was fine with what he gave us. You know, I'm like, okay, this may be what it sounds like. I'm cool with hearing some beat snippets. I don't even need to hear verses or anything. Like, I'm okay, this is cool. But there was very little feedback from the audience about the actual music, and that bothered me.
Mm.
And I'm also, and when we get a little later into Kanye, that's a similar theme that I'm seeing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but other than that, I don't have anything else to say about you. I'll say this though, in all of this critique that we do, I am excited, and I've gone on record saying months ago that I didn't want to hear a Jay-Z album. I was like, I was good. But I'm like, okay, let's hear what you got. I'm not expecting anything classic. I just want to hear what he's got.
I'm intrigued.
There you go. That's all you need right now is intrigue.
I was going to be intrigued. If Jay drops,
I don't know. What if they do Best of Both Worlds 3? What if R. Kelly comes back? And the Trackmasters come back with those hand claps. And those Spanish guitars.
You know, it might be time for that.
Yo, don't do this to me.
Yo, I still got those. I got those drums.
You got a Trackmasters drum kit?
Come on. You remember? I mean, I could break. I mean, remember the.
Oh, God.
Did you make some Trackmasters? Remember the Nobody Knows claps?
That was a Trackmasters drum?
I mean, it's pretty similar.
The Nobody Knows snares are definitely layered Trackmasters.
Trapmasters. Oh, that's a great name for a producer. All right.
Did you hear the did you get that SoundCloud link I sent you?
Yo,
you rappity rappers, man.
Here's the thing though. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, if you would have came to me and said, "Doc, can you loop this up?" I would have done it for you.
That's what I said. Somebody said something about it. I said, "Yo, 19-year-old Armand would have did it." Remember the Coors Light commercial?
Listen, that was all me, wasn't it?
That was you.
But that was because that beat's crazy.
That beat was crazy. But they looped looped the beat that you thought was dope.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm not mad at it. Shout out to the rappity rappers. It's hilarious, but I'm not mad at it.
All right. I think it's time.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Yeezus. So we're obviously going track by track.
Obviously.
I'm trying to think if there's anything about the rollout that we haven't really talked about.
I mean, other than the actual leak, the leak itself, you know, you and I didn't think it was going to leak.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm really surprised he wanted this out on CD.
Yeah.
So here's a guy who took security really seriously. Right? He doesn't record in regular studios anymore. Like, he's got this whole thing.
Where's he recording now?
He, like, when he went to Paris, he, like, did it in, like, a hotel room.
Oh, or like a castle and all that stuff.
No, yeah. But, I mean, because if you go record in a studio, your stuff's going to get leaked.
Yeah.
Especially if you're Kanye.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do that anymore. Yeah. Right? That was the logic behind going out to Hawaii. That's why they did, you know, they run out that whole floor of that hotel in New York for Watch the Throne. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Even still. You can't, you know, CDs got to get shipped around. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
Which is why I watched The Throne. I thought that was the answer.
Yep.
Now, the only other way to do it, although I don't know if this will really work. So you know what they do for like really, really, really big name book releases, like Harry Potter status. You know what they do for those?
What do they do?
They have like certain trucks that only could carry the book. Like they keep it, they have right. like security cameras in the stock room. Like they take it really seriously.
Yes.
But even still, a copy or two will get loose. And the difference is with books, copy gets loose, who cares?
Right.
Right. CD, it just takes one copy.
Right.
Anything else you want to talk about for the leak before we get to the music?
Nah, I mean, that's just, you know, the I'm going to take a picture of this Instagram struggle. Like, that was funny.
There was a lot of Instagram struggle.
Yeah.
I'm actually, once I saw the Instagrams, I was surprised the album took that long to actually leak.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that we live in this, you know, because this is similar to what happened with J. Cole's album. Where, you know, they leaked it track by track. This is what the theme is with bigger releases, because this happened with Take Care and Thank Me Later, and, you know, it'll leak track by track. Hey, let's leak the Let Nas Down record. Let's leak the big records first. Let Nas Down, Forbidden Fruit, the ones that initially captured the public's eye. Let's leak every song one at a time, and then let's put out the zip with all of the songs or whatever.
I hate that.
That reminded me of when the Black album leaked on SoundClick. Remember that?
I do remember when the Black album leaked, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that, though, because I like listening to albums as an album.
Right. Right.
Even if it's a leak.
Call me old-fashioned.
But yeah. Absolutely. Especially for something like Yeezus.
For artists who intentionally make albums, and Kanye is an album artist.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, this is something that you really, you know. I guess this barters this question right before we get into track by track. Yeah. Do you think the trend of putting music out just seemingly on a whim, planned spontaneity, are we going to see more of a trend of that?
Let's see how these all sell.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what Kanye sells.
We talked about this before. I don't even know if it matters. I mean, it matters. I mean, but I think there's a huge range in play here.
Okay.
They're expecting more than I thought they would.
They are.
They're projecting 500.
Really?
I think that's a little high.
I think he does 4 at the most. I think I said that last week. He'll be in fours.
I think that might even be a little high. This is a weird album. Let's talk about this album.
I'm glad you said that.
Let's talk about On Sight. Produced. So I have produced. So the credits for this album have been weird and wonky.
Yeah, and I really hope that you you got it together because you're the credits guy.
I've been searching and hunting, and there's two separate lists of credits out there.
Been around the world in III? I can't find no credits?
Pretty much. Okay. There's one list of credits that has, like, only some songs are listed as having producers.
Huh.
Like, Daft Punk specifically gets credit where they do it. But then those credits also list a ton of writers. So that's where you get the writing credits.
Yeah.
Right? And that's – the problem is that's how you got people saying stuff like, oh, you know, Lupe and whoever wrote this entire song. It's like, no, they helped.
Yeah.
Relax. But there's this other list of credits that I think is accurate because it sounds right, which is – although some of these I'm not sure about that. But it lists like who the main producer was, who the additional producer was, who the co-producer was. That's like detailed in a way that would be, I guess you could make it up, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the production credits because the writing credits I'm not so interested in.
Only for one song. Okay. But I'll mention that.
Okay. So let's talk about On Sight, which is solely credited to Daft Punk on production.
Okay.
Talk about a jarring introduction to an album.
Doc, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You and I talked about the best intro artists.
Mm.
And I think the two names that we talked about that we gave praise to were Jay and Jeezy, right?
Yeah, I'd say that.
They make really, really good intros.
They do.
In retrospect, Kanye makes very good intros as well.
He does, but for a while he would have like he had a couple skits as intros.
Well, I mean, the first song was always a definitive song.
Let me think.
We don't care.
We don't care.
Heard him say.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What was
808? Say You Will.
Okay, Say You Will. That's what I thought. Say You Will was 808. That's definitive. Dark Fantasy.
Oh, which is incredible.
No
Church in the Wild.
Okay, I was about to say, it was the intro to Watch the Throne. There you
go. Right. That might be the best run of intros.
That's up there. That's up for discussion.
I think Jay gets a ton of credit because of some of his intros are so iconic.
Yes.
I mean, the Dynasty intro alone is in a rarefied realm of songs.
Is that the greatest hip-hop intro of all time?
I don't think you could have... You have to always put it in the conversation, and that alone might make it. Like, you could make arguments, but I think if you talk to a bunch of hip-hop fans, that's one that's always going to end up there, and that alone might just get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
Greatest hip-hop intros.
That might be a show.
Oh. See, we keep saying that because we assume summer's going to be slow, but summer's not slow anymore.
No, we'll just put it in our back pocket. Hey, maybe we'll do it for the empty fourth quarter.
Yeah, that'd be funny,
nobody's
right?
Nobody's going to drop but Nicki.
It's like November, and we're like, do we talk about this weird Nicki Minaj record, or do we talk best intros? We're talking best intros.
Best intros. Because the last Nicki episode did not fare well.
Woof. That was a struggle.
That was ugly.
So On Sight.
I think that with this song, I think Kanye knows, and I think Kanye is a deliberate artist, because to me, this is a deliberate album.
It's very deliberate.
And he said, okay, you guys, I normally go this way for intro, so you're expecting one thing. This is a definitive punch in the mouth.
Yeah, he's punching people in the mouth. Yeah.
This is like, hey, guys, remember that thing I used to do? I'm not doing that anymore.
It's meant to be like, yo, are you guys paying attention?
Yeah.
We're not doing a normal album.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting song.
That's a good way to put it.
Let me put it. I always like to listen to music in different contexts.
Of course. We are proprietors of that on Clock Radio Speakers.
Have you done that with this album?
Of course I have.
Where does this album sound the best?
In the car.
Yes, it does. This is a completely different album in the car.
Yes.
Ironically, it also sounds really good on headphones.
Yes.
You know where it doesn't? You know where it sounds not maybe as good?
In the
Just
house.
Just on loudspeakers.
Yeah.
In the house. Yeah, it's a...
Right. I mean, when I played On Sight in my house, I was like, wait, is there something wrong with my speakers? Like, not in a good way. I was like, no, I got to turn this down. And then I hear Kanye's vocals and they're clear.
Here's the thing. For the distortion and the things that are happening on this album, the mixing on this album is so great.
Mike Dean.
Man.
Mike Dean.
I don't mind this song.
I don't either. People hate this song.
Yeah, because
I think people hate this song because nobody likes to get punched in the face.
Yeah, this is definitely like a, and especially because the album's so short, if you just let the last track loop right into this, it's a really sudden like, whoa.
Yeah. And I think that was, again, I think that was intentional on Kanye's part as well.
Very intentional. I think the sample that kicks in at 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Can you go ahead and, can you loop that?
I knew, let me tell you, the Beatty McBeatmaker race to do that is already on, I'm sure.
Just do it and give it to me.
Okay. Actually, you know who, I'll tell you after the show. I was going to say who somebody asked me to send in beats for. I'll tell you after the show. We got to talk. Remind me to tell you that after the show. Cause I don't want to put anybody on blast. Anyway. Even what that sample is saying.
Yeah.
Is meant to be like, yo, we're not doing the normal thing here. We're not giving you what you want.
Because people were like, people got excited.
They're like, this is what, comes. And he's like, nope, right back to it.
Yep. Ecstasy pills and glow sticks.
So let's talk.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the song.
Let's talk about Black Skinhead.
Let's talk about Black Skinhead.
So the credits I have, which, you know, and, you know, everybody, I'll say this. When you listen to this, it's already going to be Tuesday, which means hopefully we'll actually have real credits.
Yeah.
If that's the case, we will post if my credits are wrong, we will post like a link on the site and I'll use the hashtag. So follow along in case I'm wrong. But this is, as I understand it now, credited to Daft Punk, Travis Scott, and Mike Dean.
Now, are you familiar with any Travis Scott stuff?
Everything I've heard, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that was really.
He has co-production credits all over this album.
Yeah. Yep.
How do you feel about Black Skinhead?
My favorite song on the album.
This song is awesome.
Retarded.
First of all. It is what I believe to be. Now, people are debating about this sample. I'm pretty sure it is a slightly replayed version of a very classic rock and roll breakbeat.
Beautiful People, right?
No, it's not. I know. It's because that synth / guitar sounds like Beautiful People a little
bit. No, I'm talking the drums are Beautiful People. That's what I hear.
All right. I'm going to put on blast because I'm not the first person to say this online. If you've read anything about this album, you've already heard this. Rock and Roll Part 2. Just Google Rock and Roll Part 2. You'll hear the drums. They use different, like slightly different drums, but the pattern, it's Rock and Roll Part 2. You'll hear it almost immediately. It's classic.
Okay.
You're right. It sounds like Marilyn Manson.
It's very Marilyn Manson. Very late 90s rock.
When I heard this on SNL, I was really worried.
I was super worried.
This is so much better than the version on SNL.
Yes.
What's great about this song is this is a song that if it didn't have lyrics on it would be played at sporting arenas, which is hilarious.
Yeah. It's already in the movies.
That trailer looks amazing.
That trailer looks retarded.
It basically looks like a Wall Street take on Goodfellas.
Yeah, I say that. That's a good analogy.
But
when does that movie come out again?
November.
Dang.
I know. That's a long wait for that.
Suck.
Oh, speaking of movies, you saw This Is the End this weekend.
I did see This Is the End.
And you didn't like This Is the End.
I did not like This Is the End.
That movie was one of the funniest movies I've seen in a long time.
No.
How did you not like that?
It just wasn't funny. I wanted to. I'm not going to
tell me. Tell me you at least laughed at the end when the Whitney Houston song kicks in.
No.
Yo, me and my wife were laughing so hard we were crying.
No. Not the.
Yo, when the beat drops and the second light, we were done. We were done.
I don't know. Maybe my humor's different. My humor's changing. I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
That movie was
I wanted to like Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill's my guy.
Yo, he's hilarious in that movie.
So normally I want to like, you know. Yeah.
I was dying. I really like that movie. All right. Anyway. Black Skinhead.
Black Skin, retarded.
The mix on this.
The mix is really good. Oh my God, when the 808s hit at the end of the verses.
Yeah.
Yo. My car rattles. I was like, okay, so this to me is an example of the minimalism.
Yeah.
Working. Like, it's minimal because all it is bass, but it's speaking. The minimalism is also melodic.
This isn't what, when I think of minimal, we'll talk about some other tracks I consider minimal later on, but how do you feel about Kanye on this?
Kanye snaps.
Yeah, he's real aggressive on this.
He's very aggressive on this. You know, this is as you alluded to earlier, like some of the writing credits. Lupe helped write this record, which to me is, now that I hear it, is like painfully obvious.
I can hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, I can hear Lupe on this. But yeah, Kanye delivers on this. He's definitely, he brings out, like, this is one of those like early 7 a.m. runs, you know, like this record takes you somewhere.
Yeah, this is like if you listen to this and you don't go like immediately put up like a personal record in the gym, like I don't even know what to tell you.
Go build a house to this song. Go build a house. The house that Love built. Simpsons reference. I don't know if anybody's gonna catch that. But yeah, dope song. My favorite song right now on the album, by far.
Interesting choice. It's one of the standouts.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yep.
Let's go into I Am a God. So I believe that's Justin Vernon singing on this. I believe.
Okay.
Who is the guy from he sang on Monster.
Lost from, in this world. Bon Iver or whatever.
Yeah, Bon Iver.
I'm sorry.
So production on this. Listen to this list.
The Dream.
Daft Punk.
Okay.
Hudson Mohawk.
Okay.
Kanye West.
Okay.
Travis Scott.
Okay.
Mike Dean.
Okay.
Rick Rubin.
Okay.
That's a lot of people.
Sheesh.
So we get
that's typical Kanye.
We get
there's probably nine versions of this song.
Well, that, and here's the other thing I want to say. Like, and actually, I'm going to, you know, be biased and we're going to refer back to Kairos. So I think Kanye, due to his, number one, his experiences previously on albums where he's had people help out writing and maybe he didn't give 100% credit, so he feels a little burned by that.
Yeah.
And I also feel, because he ghost produced, I feel like he probably overgives credit.
He's really, courteous. With
like, let me give an example. Let's pick on Walking Contradictions.
Yeah.
You sent me the sample for that.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure if you work with Kanye West, you get a co-production credit on that.
As I should.
See, there you go. Right.
If I just came in the studio and was like, turn that knob down a little bit. Production credit. Give me my points.
Yeah, get an additional. Right. So I feel like there's a lot of artists who don't do that at all.
No, they don't.
I think Kanye does it to the, like, he wants to make sure everybody, that's why you see these tracks with like eight people who did production on it, right?
Everybody eats.
Not even that, but it's just, it's recognize. I think it recognizes, and that, you know, that putting a song together isn't, because I think people have this myth.
They do.
Right? It's like, you got the producer, you got the MC, and they're just doing it all on their own. Nobody helps them.
Nope. Nope.
It's this American myth of the genius working by themselves to create something great.
That is a total myth.
And you know,
now that can happen.
It totally can, but it's not the only way, and it's often not the best way.
And it's, I was gonna say, it's not the best way. Absolutely.
You know, you could say the same thing with writing.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, people are acting like Kanye is just sitting on the couch. You know, he brings in the hired you know, people.
The goons.
He's got the goon squad. and they hand him some cherry pick. He's like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, right? That people act like that's the only way that having this many writers and producers works.
No,
but like, think back to like when we would hear, you know, like stories of Wu-Tang working together.
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, you know, I might have been talking, might have given me a reference for that line. Okay, so he co-wrote that. He's like, nah, it was just a line, you know.
No, that's a co. Why didn't he co-write that? Because you wrote down what he said.
Yeah. I mean, people are really, I want to say stingy. I think people have a really interesting attitude towards credit, period, in hip hop.
It's music, man. Like, it really does take a village to raise a child in music, man. Like, nobody's that creative on their own. You talk about Michael and Quincy, but when you watch Bad 25 and you watch any documentary on those first three Michael albums, there was an entire team behind both of them.
That's right.
And granted, Michael and Quincy did a lot of work. But those other artists or those other writers and producers or whatever deserve just as much credit and just as much praise as Michael and Quincy do for their contribution. Because what would it, what would those three albums have sounded like without all that extra help?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so back to I Am a God.
Yeah.
So we get a Capleton sample.
Yeah, there's a lot of reggae on this album.
Ton of reggae. And I'm not a really a reggae guy.
I'm not either.
I think it kind of works, though. This song is weird.
You spelled bad wrong.
It's funny. This song is weird, but I like it. And it's surprisingly quotable, considering how like layered and obtuse this song can really be.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of quotable Kanye on this.
In the wrong spots.
That's what I love about it.
But I think it hurts some of the later records on the album.
Well, that's interesting.
One in particular.
Oh, that's interesting.
We'll get there.
I Am a God is growing on me. And I will say the outro, like the whole like heavy breathing, they could have trimmed that.
Oh, there's a couple of songs like that. Oh, there's a couple.
But then I love how out of nowhere, the last 5 seconds of I Am a God, I believe that's John Legend singing. It's just like, it's this real random like 5 seconds, then it's done.
Negro spiritual, that sounds about right. Cotton picking voices, yeah, that sounds about right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know, that's a great reference to take us into New Slaves.
Wait a minute. Can I give my opinion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go talk about I Am a God. You don't like it.
Nah, I don't like it.
All right. Tell me why you don't like it.
Okay. Let's clarify this as well. Although my definitely well documented on this show, we've had a lot of discussions about this. This is a purely musical standpoint. We can talk about this album musically, we can talk about this album socially, culturally, all that other stuff. Yeah. Right now, we're focused on the music.
Yeah. Let me be clear real quick. When we're done talking about the entire album, I then have some other notes and things I want to talk about, like the entire album.
Okay. All right, so we'll get there. So I don't want anybody to say, well, of course Armand's not gonna like a song because I called I Am a God. No. I don't like the song because it's a bad song. It's weird. It's goofy. It's, you know, go get my croissants. Oh, I don't like great. The beat. I don't like his flow on it. I just don't like the song. I just don't like it. I'm good. And especially coming off Black Skinhead and Black Skinhead in so aggressively. And then it just goes into this and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe this is... How do you feel about this album sequence? Is that something you want to talk about at the end?
I can't make up my mind yet.
I think this album isn't sequenced that well.
Here's the problem. I don't know if we could tell if it was sequenced well or not.
Do you like the fact that the songs end abruptly?
I do.
Okay.
This is not a normal album. And I realize that might sound like a cop-out. I'm aware of that.
I think in your context, you don't sound like you're making excuses for it. The feedback that I've been hearing from a lot of people has been very excuse-ridden.
Mm.
But to me, for you to say this is a weird album so far with your critique and your opinion on it, it's not coming off like Doc is just trying to make excuses because he's a Kanye fan. It is a weird album.
It's a very weird album. No, I mean, look, you could sit like the way that On Sight ends a little bit, like you could slim that a little bit. I actually like the way that, aside from that weird like breathing thing, I like the way that I Am a God ends. Black Skinhead, I think, ends well. Like but there are some weird points where you're just like, eh.
Yeah.
There's some transitions that are actually really great on this.
Okay.
But let's talk, anything else you want to say about I Am a God?
Now we can go into New Slaves.
Let's talk about New Slaves.
Yeah.
Here's the credits. So we get Frank Ocean at the end, obviously. So it's featuring Frank Ocean.
Yep.
So credited on production. Again, Daft Punk.
Yep.
Travis Scott.
Yep.
Hudson Mohawk.
Okay.
Mike Dean.
Okay.
Kanye West.
Hmm.
You know who's not credited anywhere in this album?
Who's that?
Hit-Boy.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't, but when I hear the synths on New Slaves...
Oh, because of Click?
It sounds like... So then remember, Click had a lot of people producing on it.
Ah, so now you want to know...
I want to know
similar to the similar to the Beyonce record.
Which record?
The I've Been On, the Bow Down
record. Yeah.
So we were trying to figure... So Hit-Boy put out that video, like, this is the part that I produced?
Mm. So New Slaves was the first leak from the album.
Yeah.
you, at the time, you said that you didn't really like it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the song now? You like it.
I like the live version better.
What?
I don't like the studio version as much.
Oh.
I think Black Skinhead kind of a good chunk of this album. I'm so hype off Black Skinhead that I'm like Black Slave. I'm so hype off Black Skinhead. Like the next few tracks, I'm like,
really?
Yeah. That really messes my ears up because I like that record so much right now. And now, granted, I've heard this album at least 20 times.
I've heard this album a lot.
Yeah. So I've gotten very familiar with this album in the last, especially today. This weekend was really crazy.
But I had to sort of like stop listening to it. Yeah. And then come back.
Yep.
I think New Slaves is incredible.
Mm.
I think the mix on the song is incredible. Last week when we talked about J. Cole, I talked about that I wanted music to be compelling.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm talking about.
This is compelling.
This is incredibly compelling.
Okay.
It's incredibly quotable.
Yeah.
The synths during the hook, Kanye's performance. Like, I love this song.
Mm.
How do you feel about the outro?
Cut it.
Oh.
Cut it.
That outro,
it's weird.
Puts me in a great place. How's the weather out in Columbus right now?
Muggy. It's getting muggy.
Yeah, is it like drive with the windows down weather?
Because it's so hot and muggy outside. Yes.
See, because we've had these like sun shining, like 70 degree days. This album feels incredible on a day like that. In a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
I love the outro on this. I think Frank kills it.
Mm.
Oh, New Slaves, man.
Mm.
Well, I can't wait to hear your opinion on Hold My Liquor. So let me give the credits. So that's obviously Chief Keef and Justin Vernon.
Yeah.
Production credits. Now, I'm not sure about these. Young Chop.
Okay.
Mike Dean. Some dude named Arca and Rick Rubin. You just wait. There's some weird names I can't even pronounce once we get later in this album.
You said Arca.
Arca. I know Young Chop is supposedly credited with this, but talk about a song that's clearly a collaboration.
Yeah.
I can't imagine this beat just, you know, pouring out of Fruity Loops from Young Chop's laptop or whatever. singing about liquor. I have to say, I didn't expect that.
No, why? Keith sings a lot.
Not in this way.
I think it was because, oh, hey, look, I've got auto-tune.
This is like, I know, right? This is like Keith's, you know, this is like Keith's like, oh, I can do 808s.
Yeah, some of this is very 808-ish, 808s-ish.
It is, but there's a song later on where I think that he's purposefully like riffing off of our knowledge of what Kanye has done in the past.
And I think I know what record you're talking about.
Okay. So, bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you.
I love Justin Vernon's part in this. Love it.
Okay.
Keith, let me just say, I have to be in the right frame of mind to listen to the song, but I'm okay with it. It is a weird record. I know you're going to say it's a bad record.
Oh, bad's not the word.
You don't like the song at all.
At all.
It's probably the weakest song on the album. But I've heard some people actually really like this song.
I've heard that too. I'm looking through right now. Weakest. That is possible.
I will say this is a good example of how the sequencing is awkward here.
Hmm.
The new, you know, bookended by New Slaves and I'm In It.
Yeah.
Not really sure. Although I will say having Hold My Liquor come before I'm In It kind of makes sense in a weird way.
Yeah.
I will say this song creates a feeling.
Hmm.
So there's a really good article on Grantland about this album. They had two Yeezus articles today. I should say Monday, so because we're talking as though it's Tuesday. Anyway, on Monday, the 17th, Grantland had two good articles about Yeezus. One of them was just like a rapid fire, like reaction track by track of different staff members. There's another one that talks about how to them, Yeezus, this is Kanye coming clean about his messed up life just before fatherhood. The debauchery.
Debauchery.
Seriously. you know, there's a lot of nastiness on this record.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't even gotten to it yet. The second half of this record. The second half of this album, right? You feel like you're in the dirtiest nightclub on like the longest night of your life.
I don't even know if it's a nightclub. Wherever it is, it's filthy.
This record takes you to a place that is filthy.
Yeah.
All right. So in the context of that, like I feel like, yes, this song is not perfect, but it can take you to a place.
Yeah, if you want to go there.
So let's talk about I'm In It.
Okay.
Which is, again, Justin Vernon.
Yep.
The production credit on this, RZA. Travis Scott and Mike Dean.
Okay.
That's got to be one of the weirdest production lineups ever.
This RZA song added some bongs on there.
This song is bizarre in a compelling way.
Yeah.
The tempo change is crazy.
Yep.
It's probably the most graphic song on the album.
Yeah.
I love how this song evolves. When I first hear this song, I'm like, but once it gets going,
you're talking about on the beat switch,
all of it. How do you feel about I'm In It?
It is a song that I do not listen to every time I hear the album. But when I let it play, I like the production.
Okay.
I'll say that much. But I'm not an overall like a big fan of the song. It's really awkward. Not in a good way. I mean like 14-year-old wearing his first suit to homecoming awkward.
The shortness of the album makes it really easy to just let it play.
Yes.
Which does itself some favors to me. Like, I think it allows the album to just sort of like keep looping and it builds this like feel.
Yeah.
I'm In It, again, not perfect, but it's got moments.
Yeah.
I really like how the beat strips away for the last verse too.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the song I really want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
Blood on the Leaves.
Blood on the Leaves.
Produced by, so this is... I'm just going to say Tonight, TNGHT, which is Hudson Mohawk and Loonies, I think is how we pronounce it, right?
Like Yuck Mouth and Numbskull, Loonies?
L-U-N-I-C-E.
Oh, okay.
Who is Rocky Fresh's producer.
Okay.
So the two of them.
Okay, that makes sense.
The two of them with Kanye and Mike Dean.
Okay.
How do you feel about this song?
This beat is retarded.
Man, listen.
And this is the I told you this, like, yo, you know, when I listen to the high quality rips from the listening session, I was like, yeah, this could go somewhere, this record. Kanye does himself no favors with whatever he does on this song.
Oh, all right. Let me walk the people through this song. So you open with the famous Strange Fruit sample.
Yep.
Interesting choice considering what that song is about. Right? Strange Fruit is about lynching, obviously.
Yeah.
Hence Blood on the Leaves.
Yep.
This sample with the piano, the vocal, it feels very Graduation-ish to me.
It does.
All right.
There are a few tributes to some of his older projects.
And we get a couple of them on this song.
Yeah.
So then you get, oh... we're going to get 808's Kanye.
Yeah.
Right?
He's all over the place on this song. Not in a good way.
Oh, in a great way.
Yeah.
So it's building. All of a sudden, 1 minute, 7 seconds in, the Tonight drums and synth kick in. They actually had a song on their project that has the drums and synth from this.
Mm.
Right? And like listening to to those synths and drums drop when I was in the car. I listened to this in the car for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Was incredible. Like, I was just like, I was like, wow. Like, it was a moment. Crazy.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a verse, song breaks down almost like it's done. But then at 203, builds back up again. You know, Kanye's still on 808s singing. Right. So then 236, if you didn't know it, the first time you listen to this, if you didn't realize it, Kanye brings back the No Murder classic down from my, let's say, Brovas, because that's how I do. But he's singing it 808 style.
That's how I do.
Because that, you know, except he's singing it like it's 808s.
Yeah.
Over a sample from a song that talks about lynching.
Yeah.
Only in America.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, those synths are a riff on that song the whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So finally, 258 kindly lets those synth horns breathe, and my goodness, vicious. And then at 310, Kanye starts rapping.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm done singing. 808's Kanye, sad Kanye, he's on hiatus. Now I'm going to talk about Gold Diggers. We talking about girls Instagramming themselves.
Yeah.
This verse is crazy quotable. What's great is when he's rapping in the mix, like they're bringing the pianos in a little more prominently, kind of giving it like a melancholy feel, which is the point.
Yeah.
Right. He's not celebrating this life.
Yeah.
Right. Then you get that the synths and the drums come back in after Ye's verse, sample plays out. And then very reminiscent of like what happened at the end of Runaway, Kanye sings this off. I would cut the outro a little bit, but that record is incredible. Stunned. Mm. And your response is, meh.
I mean, you went into extreme detail.
I did, because I mean, that record is crazy.
I just think that you do that beat a disservice by whatever it was that Kanye did to that record vocally.
Mm.
It was too much. It was way too much going on. It was mumbled. It was distorted. It was jumbled up, you know. I just would have loved to have heard a really quotable verse. I didn't want to have to wait until 3 minutes to get some raps on that.
Mm.
And I'm cool with him going back and forth with the sample on the intro, but then once the auto-tune kicks in, it totally takes me out. And I don't want to wait another 2 minutes for a beat of that caliber to go in the direction that it went vocally. And then for Kanye to come back and say, oh, yeah, I should probably rap on this, and then start rap. Because that could have been a single. I can hear that on the radio. I can hear that on the radio. But I don't hear that version. I don't hear that version on the radio.
I don't think that's
it. But I don't think Kanye cares.
No, there's actually there's a record on here that could weirdly be on the radio, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe not pop radio. I think to me, Blood on the Leaves is one of the highlights.
And that's the general consensus.
Yeah.
Even by people who don't like the album, people are very high on Blood on the Leaves. So what's next?
Guilt Trip featuring your man.
My man.
Kid Cudi.
Is it Miss Scooty or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know.
Scotty. Scotty doesn't know.
So production here credited to S1.
Okay.
Arca, again.
Okay.
Travis Scott.
Okay.
Mike Dean. And I don't even know. This is how I can't imagine that somebody made this up, because these names are just impossible. Aki Juice Rockers? I don't know. I feel like Kanye was out in Paris doing awful things, and he's literally meeting these like random French DJs and producers. And he's like, yo, we're going to work on the album. And these guys
hey,
are
like music?
What's up?
Hey, do you like music? Like Kanye?
How you feel about this record?
Oddly enough, I'm not mad at it.
I knew it.
Oddly enough, I'm not mad at it.
Even though
this feels like the good records on 808.
I was going to say, this is 808 part two all over again, except for the reggae sample on the hook.
Yeah.
Oh, but Kanye's rapping again.
Right. No. Do you think Pusha feels some type of way about him using the same sample as Blocka?
Except I like it better here than on Blocka.
Yeah. Because it's weird. It's weird on Blocka because that he doesn't even sample it. The beat goes in a totally different direction.
He actually samples Blocka, not the same sample.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
What I love about this, by this point in the album, everything's on the table. What I mean by that is, by this point, you know, we just ended Blood on the Leaves. Like, there is nothing Kanye could put out, like, that, like, as a listener that you feel like you'd be surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a record that's got a reggae sample kind of feels like 808s, but Kanye's rapping and then Kid Cudi's singing, and we're bringing, like, almost some, like, late registration-ish strings at some points. Nah, anything's possible.
Right.
I think it's a dope song.
It's a dope record.
So the record that I think could actually get some play in the club is Send It Up.
Yep.
So we got King Louis on this, King L.
Yep.
Produced by, I'm not going to pronounce his name right. It looks like a German man sneezed. Just Affelstein. I don't know. We got Arca again, Daft Punk, and Hudson Mohawk. And of course, a Beanie Man sample.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's really awkward at the end.
I actually think it works really well. King Louis' verse is all right. It works kind of in what they're trying to do. But you're trying to tell me you couldn't get Pusha to come rap deadpan over that? Come on. Come on, man. Song picks up steam when Kanye gets going. As much as it picks up steam. This beat is interesting, but it kind of works in an odd way. I feel about the song. I think that the fact that it's short does it a lot of favors. Like, it just sort of gets in and gets out. Like, it, if this song were 4 minutes long, there's no way I would listen to the whole thing. It's okay. Not my favorite.
The beat is cool. King Louis' verse kind of turns me off to the rest of the song because it's so.
People like this record, though.
They do like this record. But I'm cool.
So now we get to talk about the record.
The song.
Let's talk about Bound.
Let's talk about Bound 2.
So let me ask you, what do you have a theory as to why it's called Bound 2?
No, I don't.
I've heard people obviously think that it's because the sample is Bound to Fall in Love, right?
That's the only reason I thought.
Yeah. Well, here's the only thing I would say. If you go back and look at the official track listings for some of his most recent albums, you'll notice some songs have a .1 at the end of them.
Huh.
Like, go look at the Good Summer track list. I'm sorry, Cruel Summer, Good Music track list. Good Summer. You'll see, like, it's Don't Like .1. And some of these other records have .1s. Those are records that have been released in some way and then had a tweak to the mix. Like, in other words, like, it's the same song, but it's a slightly different version.
Yep.
If you read the Rick Rubin interview in Wall Street Journal, he talks about how this Charlie Wilson part was totally different. And he strips that down to nothing but that distorted bass. I almost wonder if this is really the second version of Bound.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
With that being said, Bound featuring Charlie Wilson, we got, you know, for a song that you'd think wouldn't need a lot of producers, here's who's credited. Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
No ID.
Okay.
S1.
Okay.
The Heatmakers.
There they go.
There they go. And Rick Rubin. Okay. Obviously.
So I wonder if the original version of this had, like, Heatmaker's drums on it. Because, you know, in that article, Rick Rubin was like, you know, what I heard was a very jumbled, you know, he pretty much said the album was really loud.
Yeah.
And directionless. And, you know, he pretty much stripped everything off of it. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this record was way more than what it was.
I'm glad this song doesn't have drums.
No, it works.
Oh, I think this song is great.
No, the song is dope. The song is really dope.
What I love is after this jarring, bizarre album, Kanye's like, all right, here you go. Here's a soul sample. This is one of his most quotable songs ever.
Ever?
Ever. People will be quoting this song nonstop all summer. This is a perfect summer record.
So you think this is the record that you could hear on the radio?
I was driving around last night. The sun was setting. The song was black. This is a song. It was a moment. This is a perfect song for your car. But yeah. It feels like nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics, this is the end. Like, this is like Kanye has emerged. Like, he just did 9 tracks of all the horrible things he's done as a human being. And this is the most optimistic song on the album.
Mm.
Charlie Wilson crushes his part.
Mm-hmm.
His part is amazing. I love this song.
Song is dope.
This song is, it's hard not to just repeat this song.
Especially when it goes back to On Sight.
It's so jarring. To me, like Bound, Blood on the Leaves, New Slaves, and Black Skinhead are far and away the highlights of this record.
Mm.
You don't sound that enthusiastic about Bound.
No, Bound is a really dope record.
Okay.
Up until I fell in love with Black Skinhead, you know, maybe a day or two ago, this was my favorite song on the album. Remember the original version of this album was only 9 tracks?
Well, I don't know if we know anything about what was really going to happen with this album.
From my understanding, let's just put this out there just so people know, like, the original version of this album was 9 tracks. Def Jam was pretty much adamant about making it a 10-track album.
Mm.
To me, this feels like a Good Friday, Dark Twisted leftover, but not in a bad way. Not like let's just throw this on here.
I don't think it is.
For whatever reason, it didn't make it. Maybe it didn't fit with the theme of dark fantasy. Maybe he didn't want that many chick records on that album.
You're talking about
he has a lot. Yeah.
No, I mean, remember, there wasn't talk of him working with the Heatmakers until recently. It's possible that elements of this record have been in the works for a while, but I don't think this is old.
I don't know, man. It feels very Good Friday to me. You put that on a Good Friday compilation and it doesn't stick out like a sore thumb, like it does here.
I think it sticks out, but it sticks out because, like, you've emerged from this album. I mean, the song's about Kim, for starters.
I was going to say, this is his Kim Kardashian record, right?
This is the Kim record, right? This is, you want to, it's like, honey, I hope you didn't listen to the previous tracks. I really hope, you know, that you didn't listen to I'm In It. But here we go. And it's honest in a way. It's like, I don't remember how we met.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Like,
you don't tell your girl asks you to tell the story of how you met, and you say, I don't know. I don't know. You might be walking home, buddy. But no, the song is dope. The song is really dope. It's really catchy.
So catchy.
That's just my only thing. It just felt like a Good Friday, Dark Twisted Fantasy record.
I could see that, but.
But, you know, that doesn't take away from the song. The song is dope. It's one of the highlights on the album, far and away.
All right.
So that's the album.
So let's talk about the album now that we've talked about the album.
Okay.
I'm not even going to ask, like, where does it fall in his catalog?
Why not?
Okay. I'll ask you. I think it's too early.
Okay.
Because I feel
that's all you'd say.
What I would say is, much like with 808s, this album will be judged historically based upon how influential it is.
Yes. This album feels very much to me like The Love Below.
Oh, that's an interesting. By the way, The Love Below is pretty overrated.
You said that on the Outkast Retro.
Yep. It is.
But I'll say this. I'll say this.
It's got lots of moments, but there is some.
It's heavy.
It's got a ton of classics, but it could be 12 tracks.
It's heavy, yeah. But it could be stripped down. Absolutely.
Okay.
But in the instance of that, and I'll make this point. When The Love Below dropped, it was weird. People didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what this was. And as a result, they didn't like it. They liked the hot, you know, some of the highlights, you know, Your Roses,
sure,
and Prototype,
sure,
and stuff like that. But all in all, it was like a pseudo jazz drum and bass version of my favorite things.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is retarded. You know, there were some songs in there where people were like, I don't know about this. But now when people talk about it in retrospect, they're like, oh, man, The Love Below was amazing. It was a great album. And nobody was really saying that except like people who, you know, of course, the people who thought the album was dope. But a lot of it was largely critics who wanted to be cool and Outkast fans who just wanted to like whatever it was that they put out. But largely, in fact, the album was music ended up going that way to a degree. And then in turn, now The Love Below is looked at the way that it's looked at today, which is very fondly.
It is.
And Kanye's album, this album feels like it could do that depending on, as you said, where it goes.
I mean, I also think the comparison to 808s is valid. What I mean by that is we all remember that as Kanye's like dark album in a sense, right? Like that's when he was in a bad place. Although now Yeezus takes
that.
That's
when he started in his bad place.
Oh, see, there you go with your theories again.
Oh, he's still there.
Well, if that's the case, then the bad place has done wonders for his career.
You think so?
Well, let's see. Dark Twisted Fantasy is incredible.
Okay, you like Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeah, everybody likes Dark Twisted Fantasy. Watch the Throne.
Do they?
Watch the Throne is way better than it has any right to be. Watch the Throne is fantastic.
It's good.
It's really good.
It's good.
And this record, good or bad, is an achievement. Because here's what I love about Kanye. And you're going to say it's a cop-out, and that's fine. What I love about Kanye is that I can't think of any other rapper who has reinvented their sound every single time.
I mean, I'll give you that. But I think it has to, in order for that to be valid, the music has to be good.
This is not a bad album. Not at all.
It's not a good album either.
I think it's definitely at least a good album.
You're not listening to this album in 3 weeks.
You don't think so?
No.
Interesting.
No.
But you're going to listen to that J. Cole in 3 weeks.
I've already stopped listening to J. Cole.
Everything I said on last week's episode is valid.
I listen to Trouble and Forbidden Fruit.
That record.
And yeah, that's about it. Everything else I'm cool off of. Like, you know, it's whatever. I gotta give Truly Yours 3 a few more spins.
I would say that albums that are sort of a little dense and difficult to get into, those are the ones that reward multiple listening.
Absolutely.
I think it's actually really interesting that Jay's dropping quickly. Like right after. Because it won't be seen as a response. Like, in other words, I don't know what the critical response will be just yet. I will say the critics.
So it's a Kanye's album?
Yeah. Or at least the commercial response. The critics love it.
The critics love it. But the critics don't love the music.
I wouldn't say that.
The critics to me sound like they're copping out. They're like, oh, it's Kanye and he's doing all these great things and he knows how to put puzzles together and he built this house from scratch. But what does the music sound like? It's a weird myriad of da 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 da. But how does the music sound? It's really roundabout. It's roundabout speaking on the music by not speaking about the music.
So you're saying that you've never heard music before where you're like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I think I like it, but I need more time.
I mean, that's how it was with Black Skinhead.
That's how this whole record is.
Huh?
This whole record is like that.
I'll say this. I'll do this.
Okay.
I'll give it another chance after all this music comes out and it's slow. Because then that's when I can go back and enjoy stuff as a fan.
Sure.
I'll give it that. Kanye deserves that, at least. But right now, after multiple listens over a long weekend, I'm good. I'm good. The few tracks that I like, and the rest of it, I'm totally cool off of. This will be a really good maxi single.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm not feeling it.
All right. I mean, I expected that.
What do you mean? You expected that?
When I hear, like, I think I know your taste by now to a certain I hear this, I don't think to myself, yeah, Armand's gonna like this.
So you did you know that I was gonna like Black Skinhead?
I had a feeling you'd come around on that. I don't know how you cannot like Black Skinhead.
You know, it's funny because nobody talks about that song. To me, everybody says they hate On Sight, they love Bound, they love Blood on the Leaves. Everything else is kind of like, but nobody talks about Black Skinhead, not the way that they should.
I believe that tell me you're noticing a split in the feedback on this.
It's love hate. It's love hate.
I don't want to say it's a split along racial lines because that's not fair.
No, it's pre and post Kanye. It's pre and post Donda.
You think
it's
so?
It's pre and post his mother passing. Absolutely. Everybody who doesn't like this album has instantly referenced Registration, College Dropout. People who love this album immediately reference 808s and Dark Twisted Fantasy.
I'm going to tell you all right now, if I hear one more person overhype College Dropout and Late Registration, I want you to come at me, bro.
That
like, listen, those records are classics, but they have problems.
They have problems. And go listen to our Kanye West retrospective on clockradiospeakers.com.
And this album has problems too.
Yeah.
All of his records have problem records.
Graduation
does. I know what you're thinking. Well, like Drunken Hot Girls.
Okay, Drunken Hot Girls. I could do without Barry Bonds.
That's actually one of the best records on the album. You can maybe go to Graduation. I have a feeling,
what Drake did to that. I think Drake made Ye and Kanye kind of irrelevant. Drake killed that.
All right. Let me look at the... Now you got me looking at the
checklist. I heard Flashing Lights this morning.
That record's crazy, man.
Oh, my God. All
right, let's look at...
In that live, glow-in-the-dark, live band.
Oh, I don't like Champion. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, you're bugging.
It's
very goofy and gimmicky in retrospect. First time I heard that record was incredible.
And people are going to hate me, but I actually think Everything I Am is a little overhyped. A
little bit. It's a little slow.
And I prefer the original version of Homecoming. Like, Home.
I'll agree. Yeah, a whole lot.
And Drunken Hot Girls, I liked at the time because it was sort of kitschy. Not catchy. Kitschy.
What does kitschy mean?
Like, it's kitsch. Like, it's... It was goofy. That's a better word. Okay. I liked it because it was goofy, but there's no replay value. Right. But like, you know, Good Morning, Stronger, I Wonder, Good Life, Can't Tell. Like, there's a ton of great tracks on here.
Yes.
It's funny. I think Graduation's probably, it might be his most consistent album.
Say it.
But it's not his best. It's not. It's not. And I think Big Brother isn't as good as everybody thinks it is.
No, I get that.
All right,
record was dope though.
It's a dope record, but it's not amazing.
Didn't age.
It's not Can't Tell Me Nothing.
No, nothing is Can't Tell Me Nothing. Except Flashing Lights. Either one of those.
You think those are his two best records?
Well,
that's what you're saying. I mean, you're making it sound like
they're up there. They're top. They're at least top five in the upper five, not four or five. Like, they're up there. They're up there.
Obviously, this is what you're going to do for your set this week on the radio, right?
Oh, you already know I'm doing all Kanye.
Best of Kanye.
Yeah, all Kanye.
And I'm guessing most of it won't be from Yeezus.
You got to play a couple of. Yeah, you got to play a couple
play
of.
Play Black Skinhead. How do you not like New Slaves?
I just like the live version better. I felt it. I like the moment that it created. To me, it feels like the food.
No, that's a case where the studio version's like a different tempo. It's a different song.
The problem with the studio version of The Food was that they recorded it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And they sound sleepy. And,
yeah, Kanye had to be up at 6. So they were like, yeah, walked in the crib, got a couple kids and my baby mama late. Uh-oh. Hey, no. Then they got on Chappelle and they was like, yeah. So they killed it. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's Kanye. I mean, I'm musically good. But as I said earlier, I'll give it another shot in a little while.
Is this is 808's his worst album for you?
No, this is
before this. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Is this a serious step below 808's or just a little bit?
I got to go back and hear 808's.
I think people, 808's, the highlights are highlights. The lowlights are
really low.
Yeah.
I don't know if this has a Say You Will. I don't know if this has a Paranoid. You know how I feel about Paranoid.
I think Paranoid's so overrated.
Oh, you're bugging. That song is
incredible. I'll take Black Skinhead, New Slave, Blood and Leaves, all that over Paranoid in a heartbeat.
You're bugging.
I'll take a minute over Paranoid.
I want to awkwardly dance with non-rhythmic women to that song.
Paranoid?
Yes.
No.
No. Yes.
All right. Let me say one last thing about Yeezus, which is to say, it's a visceral record.
And what does that mean?
It evokes feeling.
Okay.
Like it evokes emotion. So like, this is definitely a record where I can't. I like what you said. I need to like back off from this, come back, see how I feel. I'm almost certainly still going to say, you know, the intro to On Sight is like, oh, what the heck's going on? You know, I am a god. They could snip stuff out of there. Hold my liquor. It helps if, I mean, ironic, not so ironically, it helps if you're a little buzzed when you listen to Hold My Liquor. Not that I did that or anything. Send It Up, I don't really know about. But there's just some moments on here. I'm a fan of moments. But it needs some space to breathe.
I get that.
All right. So, everybody, please let us know what you think. I'm sure there's opinions on this. I've seen some people talking about us, about this upcoming episode. I have a feeling most of our audience won't like this.
That's the vibe I'm getting. How much they don't like this album? Yes.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
I think that people just want that old Kanye. I think they don't like this new dark, angry Kanye. And a lot of people don't. Like Kanye came in just so wide-eyed and happy, and I just want to make music, and I just want to leave a legacy, and here we are a little more than 10 years, about 10 years later. And that's not the Kanye that we get. And it's just kind of like, we want happy Ye back. And this isn't happy Ye. So I think as a result of that, people are not really feeling it.
Interesting. So I know we said we were done, but as an artist,
yeah.
How does that make you feel?
About what?
I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, fans, they just only want to hear a certain kind of thing. They don't want to hear people change.
Yep.
How does that? I mean, as an artist, how does that make you feel?
I get both sides because I'm both. I'm an artist and I'm a fan.
Okay.
I always want my favorite artists to change and grow and develop, and because that's as humans, that's what we're created to do. We're created to grow and change. I guess it's what direction that growth goes in is what somebody could disagree or not like or not really feel. I think that because, as you said earlier, Kanye has his change has been dramatic from album to album, as opposed to the average artist, their change is gradual.
Mm.
But Kanye goes from freaking... If he's a baby on College Dropout, he's a freaking teenager on Late Registration. he's in his 30s on graduation. You know, he's already sent his kids to college on, you know, 808s. Like, he grows very substantially, very quickly. And a lot of people can't handle and don't want to handle change that quickly and that rapidly and that radically. Mm. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And then I just think that a lot of people just don't like the dark music, the sad, angry music. When you see somebody who's happy, if I know you to be a happy person, and, you know, I'd slowly see that smile fading away, I'm going to be concerned. I think that's what I think the public in its strange, you know how I feel about the media, you know how I feel about the public and the way they treat celebrities and public figures. But I think people really think really fondly of Kanye at large. So, you know, somebody who's beloved isn't in a good place right now, isn't happy or whatever, I think they're going to feel a certain way about that. And they're going to want you to be happy again.
What's interesting to me is the counterpoint to how Kanye has done his whole career is how Jay-Z has done his whole career. Jay-Z comes from the Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan school of managing celebrity, which is, I am a brand. Mm-hmm. I am not prone to emotion. You're not going to really hear me talk about politics, although he's let a little bit of that slip on occasion when it suits him. Mm-hmm. But nothing serious, right? Jay-Z's not going to do something that's going to jeopardize getting $5 million, $20 million from Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
So Kanye does not – he's not like that.
Mm.
But some fans punish him for that.
Right.
Right? They like it. I mean, they're – you know, on one hand, they're like, yeah. We love it when you're emotional, but only when you're happy.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. Is the music compelling? I don't think music has to be happy for it to be compelling.
It doesn't.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's about it for Clack Radio Speakers this week.
Are we good? Are we short this week?
You're a little short, you know.
Cool. I'll take it.
Yeah. I was going to say people shouldn't complain. We're a little short. We're over 2 hours. Everybody tell us what you think. Use the hashtag Clack Radio Speakers. Follow us both on Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter at CRS Podcast, all one word.
Yep.
Rate and review the show on iTunes. Listen to the Pulse Radio 10 a.m. I'm sorry, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Kanye. A lot of Kanye.
Lot of Kanye this week, yeah.
A lot of Kanye this week. Let us know what you think. Am I giving too many excuses for Kanye? Is our mom being too harsh? I'm guessing y'all are gonna start with our mom, but that's all right. I got a thick skin. Come at me, bro. No. And let me know what you think about Yeezus. You got anything else to say, man?
Nah, man. See you guys. Just stay tuned. The next few weeks are gonna be very, very, very dope episodes of the show. So lock in with us.
All right. Later.